חלקת הפרשה. Of course, has in it one of the major episodes that has to do with Moshe Rabbeinu and the rock. The Torah comes and tells us that the Jewish people, they got to a place and there was no water. Ve'lo haya mayim la'eda. Vayikahalu al Moshe v'al Aharon. So they came upon Moshe and Aharon. Vayarev v'am al Moshe. And they said, we should have stayed in Egypt. What did you bring us to Mitzrayim over here? That we're going to die of thirst. V'lama elitunu Mitzrayim nevi otenu l'makom ara'azeh. Well, Moshe and Aaron went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God came to Moshe, Vayera kevod Hashem alehem, Vayedaber Adonai el Moshe lemor, Kach tamateh. So he says, take the stick, Ve'akel et ha'eda, and gather the people, Ata ve'aron ahicha, Vedibartem el ha'sela, De'enehem, we speak to the rock, Ve'natan me'mav, speak to the rock, Ve'otzeta, Lahem mayim min ha'sela. And you feed, you give everybody to drink. So he takes the stick. Kasher tzivahu. Like Hashem said, Vayakiru Moshe banu et kol hakahal et pene asala. They gather everybody by the rock. Vayomer lahem shimona morim. Now listen, you rebels. Amenasel azeh nosi lechem mayim. You think I can bring water from this rock? Yara Moshe tayado, he takes his hand, Vayagad asera b'matiru pa'amayim, Vayitzumayim rabbim. A lot of waters came out, Vatesh ta'idah v'iram. And then God comes along and says, you blew it. So much has been said, much ink has been spilled, in order to understand what was the sin over here of Moshe Rabbeinu. Obviously, whenever we're learning about the tzaddikim, you have to learn it in a depth. God told him to talk to the rock, and now he comes and hits the rock. So what was the avon over here exactly? What was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking? So actually, there's a famous Or HaChaim HaKadosh. If anybody's interested in seeing the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh actually brings... The Or HaChaim HaKadosh brings that there's 10 reasons. Look at that. He has to bring 10 different explanations. What was the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu that he hit the rock? And then he brings his own interpretation based on a different diyukim that he makes in the Pesukim. Well, let's go read some of the opinions over here. So the Shia Kadosh, he comes along and he says that the sin was that a Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to talk to the rock, and that he hit the rock. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon." She says, "Vayikahalu hamin asela azen utzi lefi shelo yom makirim oto." The rock that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to hit, it got mixed up amongst the other rocks, that she says. The Pishalach Asela v'yashalo ben Asela'im. So now all of a sudden the rocks were all mixed up. V'ayu Yisrael omnim lahem, ma lachem me'ezeh selah tosi lanu mayim. So Yisrael was saying, what's the difference with rock? Bring us water from any rock. Lachem amal lahem amorim. Also, Moshe Rabbeinu called them Morim. Morim means Sarbanim, your rebels. Lashon, Yoni, in Yevani, it's Shotim. He told you fools, he called them. Wow. Morim et Moreem. Are you going to tell me what to do? Morim et Moreem. You fools, you're going to tell the rabbi what to do? The rabbi knows what to do. Amen asel azeh shalom estavinu alav notzi lachem mayim. What do you mean? This rock, Hashem didn't tell me what to do. Now you're going to tell me to bring rock. So therefore they started to tell Moshe as if they know better than Moshe. So you're going to become my teacher, Shemunah Morim, Amore et Morehem. And some say Morim is rebels. What are you rebelling? So that's the way that she understands. There's a Baal HaTurim over here as well. The Baal HaTurim over here has a different explanation. Baal HaTurim says, that the sin over here was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe he told him to gather the people. Kach ata mateh v'akel et ha'edah. Gather the people. So the Baal HaTurim says, who's the edah? Doesn't say edah, it says it ha'edah. Elu ha'tehorim ha'gedolim sheba'edah. He told them, only bring the ha'edah. Only bring the guys to the rock that are the creme de la creme. The teorim and the kedoshim. V'ulo asaken. Ela v'yakilu Moshe v'aron et ha'kahal. Gedolim u'ktanim. Baal HaTurim says the big chiddush here. Exactly. That the difference, the avon over here was the difference between ha'edah and the kahal. Fine. So we see already there's different sins over here. One says he hit the rock. One says that he called them rebels. And one says over here because he brought all the people to the rock and he should have only brought the ha'edah. So sometimes the hakamim say when you see so many opinions like this, they say elu ve'elu devrei Elohim hayim. They say, well, everybody's looking at the story from a different angle, but it's really all part of the same puzzle. So he says the Avon was, he hit it. He says he called them Morim. And he says it's because he's supposed to bring the Ha'idah and he brought everybody else. But maybe it's possible that all these reasons are actually part of a larger picture. So what's the larger picture over here of the story? Again, Rabotai, we approach these stories with great fear because you're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, and we don't want to say, what's the matter, Tomer?
We left you the chair.
Thank you.
Baruch Abba. Baruch Abba, doctor. So, in order to understand it, there might be an explanation as follows. But in order to understand it, we have to have a few hakdamot. One of the hakdamot is that the Hachamim say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu behaves to us, midah keneged midah, the way we behave towards Him or towards others. That means we're able to control the way Hashem behaves with us. Hashem says, I'm like a mirror. The way you behave to others, that's how I'll behave to you. The Baal Shem Tov said on the Pasuk, Hashem Tzilecha. God is my shadow. One thing about a shadow, is the shadow always copies whatever the person's doing. The person lifts his hand up, the shadow copies it. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the same thing. Over there, the Baal Shem Tov said it by Tzedakah. Hashem says, I am your shadow. Hashem tzilecha al yad yiminecha. What do we do with yad yiminecha? We give tzedakah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you give tzedakah with yad yiminecha, so I'll copy back. I'll take my hand and give back to you. So therefore, a person who gives, he gets back. Like it says in the Pasuk, Venatenu. Venatenu is read forward and backwards. Venatenu, Venatenu. It's a palindrome. You give this way, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives back the other way. Somebody once said, that I gave so much to Tzedakah, so somebody told him, you gave so much, how do you still have so much? So he says, the more I shovel out, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu shovels in. And it seems that Hashem's shovel is bigger than mine. So therefore, that's why I'm getting more. So that's a principle. That there's a duality. That the way we behave on earth, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us. There's two proofs to this. One is the Gemara that says about a rabbi called Rav Huna. Rav Huna got sick. And the rabbis came to visit him. And they saw that really there was a decree on Rav Huna that he was supposed to die. And then all of a sudden, miraculously, Rav Huna made a recovery. So the Gemara wants to understand, what medicine did they find for Rav Huna that he was able to recover? They said, really, it wasn't any medicine. It says, he's ma'avir b'mileh. That Rav Huna, he lets things go. He doesn't hold things on formalities and on principles. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though somebody did something, he was guilty, he lets him go. So even though Rav Huna was supposed to die, he's guilty, but the Olam says, let him go. So his behavior actually was his refuah. His behavior actually was the refuah. Borei Olam says, let me see how he acts. Similarly, the Gemara says a story from Ta'anit and Daf Chafeh that there was a drought. So they need to pray for rain. So who are they going to send up to be the Hazan? The Gedol Ador, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer gets up over there and he prays 24 berachot, which means the 18 berachot of the Amidah, plus an additional 6 berachot, plus another 6 berachot, and nothing happened. No rain. They don't know what to do. If God's not going to answer the Bili Ezer, they're in trouble. So they said, okay, you know what? Rabbi Akiva is over here. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva gets up at the Teva. He says, Abinu Malkenu, Chutz Berachim Aleinu. All of a sudden, boom, Mabur, flash flood. The waters came down. So the Gemara cannot understand. Could it be that the Rabbi Akiva is greater than the Bili Ezer? No, the Gemara will not say that. The Gemara says, so how could it be that Rabbi Akiva was answered so fast? So the Gemara says, because Rabbi Akiva was Ma'avir Amidotav. What's Ma'avir Amidotav? He didn't hold people to the fire. If somebody wronged him, Allah, Ma'avir Amidotav. Rabbi Eliezer, he was from the students of Shammai. The students of Shammai believed you have to be Kabdam. Now, Chas v'Shalom, it's not a weakness. They believe that that's the Avodat Hashem. You're supposed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bekaptanut, midat adin. Not that it was wrong. It wasn't wrong. That's the way you serve God. Some rabbis, they serve tough, they're strict. They don't let you get away with anything. And they succeed. But others, ma'avir amidotav. It's two mahalchim. It's two different paths to serve Hashem. So the Eliezer that came from the school of Shammai. So they said, listen, no problem. We're going to make you the Hazan. But for this, you need somebody else. Because you're praying with your midah. Your midah arouses strictness. And if we're going to judge the people with strictness, they don't deserve the rain. And the way he dealt with people was what? He believed that the Rav has to be mu'el. Don't worry about it. Let it go. Don't, he's not so strict. So Borei Olam says, that's the Chazan you put up. So I have to be a mirror. He behaves like that, so I'm going to behave like that as well. So therefore the rain came. Now, it's an amazing yesod. I'll give you another example from this week's parasha. That's the tzaddikim say this. It says in the parasha of Parah Aduma, Zot Hukat Torah, Asher Siva Hashem Lemor. That this is the chok of the Torah, Parah Aduma, that God commanded to tell the people. Lemor always means to tell somebody else. Zot Hukat Torah, Asher Siva Hashem Lemor. Lemor to who? To us. Go tell the people about Parah Aduma. Now, the amazing thing of the Jewish people is that you'll notice miracles happen to the Jewish people. The rabbi yesterday, in a beautiful interpretation to Asher Yatzah, said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mafdi la'asot. You have to remember that God is not bound by the strictures of nature. Borei Olam can be mafdi la'asot. Nothing can stop HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just when you say, oh, it's impossible, how am I going to get saved over here? Derech HaTeva, there's no way I can get out of this mess. So the Berakha reminds you, Ummafli la'asot. The Rekal Baruch Hu has a different system. He has the system of Derech HaTev, and he also has the system of Mafli. He has a system of wonders. So the Rekal Baruch Hu can do anything. And actually, really, if you start to notice, everything is really a wonder. It's just that we got used to it, the rabbi said. Fine. But now we're saying further. Why is it so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does miracles to the Jewish people? The Ramban writes in Parashat Noah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with rules of Teva. There's rules. There's the speed of light, there's the speed of sound, there's gravity, there's the water pressure, there's all rules that a ship, and he says, it's you have to make a world like that, because otherwise how are you going to live? If the sun rises every day at a random time, how are you going to know when to get up, when to go to sleep? It's got to follow a system so the world can exist. Otherwise, you won't be able to function properly. If the world just runs random, that you don't know exactly how things are going to work. Sometimes gravity makes things go up. So how are you going to know how to run a world like this? You won't be able to exist. So Hashem made systems of teva. However, there's one nation that breaks all the rules. And that's Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael, we're always lemala min teva. Somebody mentioned to me last week that in West Point, which is the school for the cadets, they teach the army people in West Point, New York. They study wars. They study wars because they need to study case wars so they can teach the students. The only wars that they don't study is the wars of Israel because they break all the rules. So you cannot teach a student about the war of Israel because it doesn't make any sense. What are you going to teach them? That you're going to be one army against five armies, you're going to win. It doesn't make sense. So this is not something you could teach. This is lemala min hateva. It cannot be taught to somebody. I can teach you about a miracle. I can teach you. If you have 10, there's 10. So therefore you go from the back, you go on top. But I cannot teach you if you're one and there's 1,000, do this. Let's do this. If there's one and you're 1,000, play dead. You die. See, talk in the head. There's nothing to talk. So they don't teach it. So therefore, because it's lemala min hateva. So ask yourself a question. Why are the Jewish people lemala min hateva? What do we do that we zochet to all these miracles that constantly happen to us? So that Mefarshim explains something amazing. Midah keneged midah. There are certain laws that we understand. If I tell you, honor your parents. Of course, honor your parents. You don't have to tell me that, Rabbi. Even if the Torah didn't say kibud ab va'em, you would know that intuitively, that you have to respect your parents. Now I tell you, okay, good. Shapnez. What is shapnez? Wool and linen. You cannot put them together. Why not? Because. That's not maybe because. I'm a rational man. I went to university. Tell me why I cannot pull, is wool kosher? Yes, wool is definitely kosher. As a matter of fact, if you have 100% wool suit, habibi. And if you have 100% linen suit for the summer, beautiful. But if you put the wool and the linen together, that's the biggest avon. Explain it to me, Rabbi. I don't explain, there's no read to others and give you. It just says, lo tilbash sha'atnez sin u'mishnim ya'dav, period. And then you tell him, yeah, but how come the Kohen Gadol gets to wear it? Don't ask me that question either. Oh, so I can't do it, but if you're going to, you're mixing me up. So it makes no seceit. If I wear seceit, I could have sha'atnez. When I do a mitzvah, I could do an avera. But if everything you tell me makes no sense. Could you explain it to me, Rabbi? I cannot explain it to you. Nor do the books really have a proper explanation. We call this what? A hawk. Now, for somebody who's a smart, rational thinker, for him to follow a hawk, what is he basically doing? He has to go against his nature of doing things that he understands only. When you do something that you don't understand, you're basically doing something against your nature. Mm-hmm. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. Which means, if I honor my parents, that's natural. Mm-hmm. But if I buy a suit, and they tell me there's shatnez, and I return, and somebody says, why are you returning the suit? I don't know why. Dura says it's a suit. Why is it a suit? You're a smart guy, you have a diploma. I can't explain it. So you're doing something against your nature. So a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you follow the Hukim, you break your nature, therefore I'm going to deal with you against the nature. But if you only go according to logic, then I'm going to only go with logic. If there's one soldier against 10 soldiers, logic says what? The 10 soldiers are going to win. But if you go above logic, then one can beat 10. So therefore it's the hukim that actually give us the ability to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the midah keneged midah to go against the teva. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Rahok mereshaim yeshua, ki chukecha lo darashu. The reshaim are far from yeshuot. Why? Ki chukecha lo darashu, because they don't follow the chukim. The rasha only follows logic. Logic, God says, I go with you with logic, and whatever is understood. But they're far from yeshua. But Klai Yisrael that follows lo asachen echol goy, mishpatim bal yedaum, which means, the goyim, they only follow the mishpatim. And even the mishpatim, they follow it only to a certain degree. We follow even the mishpatim like it's a hawk. Even the stuff that makes sense to us, we follow like hawkim. That's why the pasuk says, Zot Chukat HaTorah. In any event, the mefashim say unbelievable. They say, Zot Chukat HaTorah. When a person follows the hawkim of the Torah, Asher Siva Hashem, Lemor, who does God speak to? To the Mekatregim,
When the Mekatregim want to destroy Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Zot Chukat HaTorah, the people are following the Hukim over there. Asher Siva Hashem, God commands Lemor, go tell the Mekatregim that want to destroy Klal Yisrael, that since they follow the Hukim, they're not subject to a death penalty. Adrabah, we have to treat them in a system, Lema'ala Min HaTeva. So it's a big thing that our behavior actually influences the behavior that's going to come down from heaven. But I want to say it's even deeper. It's even deeper than that. How's that about it? It's even deeper than that. What is the deep? There was a rabbi called Hafetz Chaim. Hafetz Chaim said the following. He said, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that writes that if a person comes along and says, May ahani dan rabbanan, you hear people say this. They come along and say, what benefit do we get from the rabbis? They read all day long. They're reading and reading and reading. They're not productive. The lawyer is productive. He has a trade. He represents me in court. The person that produces products, for sure he's productive. He's making society products. But the scholar, just reading and reading and reading. What benefit do I get from all this reading? My ahani lan rabbanan. So the Gemara says, the person says that, finished. Eno halek la'olam abba. Eno halek la'olam abba. He's out. So the Hafetz Chaim says, how could that be? How does it work? What's the mechanics of that? So he says, very simple. He said that you cannot knock something and then benefit from it. That's a rule. You cannot make fun of something and disparage something and humiliate it, and then after you come and say, I need it. Too late. Once already you disparaged it,
you lost it.
You cannot benefit from it. So he comes along and says something amazing. He says, most people when they go to Olam Abba, we live in the zikut of the Hakamim. We do mitzvot. But we have a lot of beracha in our life. So maybe we should be worried that God's going to use our mitzvot to give us all the beracha that we have. So you don't have to worry. We get all our zikhuyot in our life from the hachamim. They learn and we get the beracha. The Gemara says, the whole world lives on the zikhut of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. Hanina ben Dosa, he's learning and who benefits? The whole world. So therefore, when you have these rabbis that are sitting and reading and reading and reading and reading, who are they reading for? They're reading for us. So now, in Shamayim, when they get the bill, You ever go to a restaurant and somebody comes along and says, I'll take care of the bill. I'll take care of it. He takes it from the guy's hand. Give me that bill. I'll take care of it. So never happened to me, but they tell me that. They tell me that it happens. That once in a while you go to a restaurant. One guy went to a pizza place. He did it. He bought me over there. Because he had a coupon. So he said, give the coupon to the rabbi. That's okay. Anyway, what happens over here, he says, give me the bill. In Shamayim, when we go up, Borei Olam says, wow, look at all this benefit. You had a house, you had a house over there, you went to this place, you had that place, you had cars, you had children. Beautiful. Who's paying for this here? Who's paying for this? So they open his book, say, oh, he has a lot of mitzvot. Baruch Hashem, he has a lot of mitzvot. So they start making calculation. Okay, this mitzvah could pay for that. All of a sudden, the rabbi comes, give me this. On me, I take care of the bill. I take care of the bill, it's on me. So what, you knew this hakam? What about knew this hakam? I bust Ido every day. I went for berachot for my children. I respected him. Once in a while I gave him tzedakah. Okay, if you respected him, he could pay the bill. However, now the next guy comes in, and he's beautiful. The rabbi pays the bill. Beautiful, the rabbi pays the bill. He comes in confident. He comes in, okay. They tell him, you had this. They don't care. He knows that the rabbi is going to pay the bill. Now let's look for your mitzvot. They start making calculations. He's waiting for the rabbi to come and grab the bill. Nah, the rabbi doesn't come. So he says, hold on, where's the rabbi? Call the rabbi. He says, you want me to pay the bill? All your life you made fun of me. You said my speeches are too long, my speeches are too short. I'm a tipesh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm extreme, I'm not extreme, I don't know anything. You knocked me my whole life. Now I should pay the bill for you? Pay it yourself. Now all of a sudden they pay it, balance zero. Balance zero, Gehinnom. So therefore the Hafetz Chaim says that if a person says, what do I need the rabbis for? The reason why he goes to Gehinnom is because he has nothing. He has to pay for all his benefits from his own pocket. He cannot take it from the Chacham. And therefore, once you take it from your own bank, your bank account's on zero. We tell the guy, we're sorry, you have nothing left. And therefore, you got to go. But how come he got a freebie? He got a freebie. All his life, he respected Tamid al-Khamim. So the rabbi picked up the bill for him. So that's Ahanud al-Banan. So you see the same concept. That if you respect the Hakam is able to benefit. One of the Hakamim said on this, it says in the Pasuk, Lo yahel debaro, kechol ha-yotze mipiv, ya'aseh. In a few weeks, we're going to read Parashat Matot. So one of the Mefarshim said that if you want a rabbi's blessing to come true to you, you have to believe in the rabbi. You cannot come along and knock the rabbi the whole day and then say, Hakam, give me berakah. Well, you don't believe in me. I should give you berakah. My berakah will not come to you. You nullify all my words. And now you think my berakah is going to come true? So the Pasuk says, Lo yahel devaro. It's talking to Rashi Matot, the leaders. Moshe said, Lo yahel devaro. Do not nullify his words. And if that's the case, then whatever comes out of the Rav's mouth will come true, because but you can't pull the string both ways. You can't say, ah, this Hakam, ah, do me a favor. And then when you need him, you come, Hakam, barakli. What barakli? You told me that my words are worthless. You told me that I'm a good for nothing. Now you tell me that you want the barakha. So lo yahel devaro. Don't mizalzel with the words of the Rav. And if that's the case, okay, beautiful. Now we go back to the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, in Christ, you have all types of people. You have the great people, the tzaddikim, the tehorim, and then you have the sarbanim. You have the wise guys, the Tamba Avirams, the Korahs, all those wise guys that they're always fighting with Moshe Rabbeinu. They're always making trouble with Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so now Borei Olam says to Moshe, listen, what I really want you to do is talk to the rock. And I want you to show the people that your words are able to make perot. However, I work with midah keneged midah. So therefore, you can only bring to the people who listen to you. Bring the people to the rock, et aida, the people that listen to you. So since they listen to you, so therefore, they listen to your word, so now your word will be able to bring midah keneged midah. The one that listens to the word of the Rav, then the word of the Rav is able to make great miracles. So Moshe, that was he supposed to do. But what did he do? He brought Kol Aida. Now he sees these guys over there. So now he says, hold it. What are you talking? How is it possible that I'm going to talk over here? Shimona Morim, you tell me what to do. All day long you complain against me. And you think, you think my dibur is going to work for you guys over here? My dibur will not work over here. So therefore, he had no choice but to come and hit the rock, because he says... But if he would have listened to Gadol Baruch initially and only bring the tzaddikim there, then they listened to him, therefore they would have worked. But he brought everybody. Once he brought everybody, it's automatic. He's saying, listen, Shimon HaMorim, you people are Morim. Now you think, what, I'm going to come and talk? When I talk, you don't listen. But you think the rock's going to listen? How could the rock listen if I talk if you don't listen? Already, lo yahel devaro, you wouldn't my davar. Kechol yosef mipiv yaseh, kechol mipiv lo yaseh, it's not going to happen. So what happened? So why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu get angry then? So why is the Kadosh Baruch Hu get angry at Moshe? Why is he get angry at Moshe? If that's the case, he shouldn't get angry at Moshe.
He brought them. He should have brought them.
Oh, so it's a small sin. The fact that he invited some people that weren't on the invitation list. So the depth over here is, the Kaura Moshe was right. He had no choice but to hit. If the Morim are there, he has no choice to hit. It's not going to work. So what is he going to do? He's going to talk to the rock. The rock is not going to listen. Bikhalul Hashem. So what do you want him to do? In that situation, it's true. There was a little mistake. He invited people that weren't on the list. Okay, but once you're in that position, you have no choice. And the Rebbe says, no, you had a choice. And this is a big yesod, Rabotai. We learned this in the Gemara this week. That the Jewish people are made up of two layers. The outer layer is the layer that is like a costume. That's the layer that you see. He behaves, misbehaves, and he acts like a rasha, and he complains, and he makes all trouble. However, inside the root of every Jewish person, he's good. All the Jews are good. It's just that on the outside, sometimes they have a thick veneer on the outside, but you have to be able to see inside, at the core of Klai Yisrael, is ultimately good. So therefore, what God was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you're calling them Morim. You thought they're Morim. On the outside, they're Morim. But in the Pinimiyut of Klal Yisrael, even the guy who's coming, like we learned in Gemara Arachin last week, the guy comes along and he doesn't want to give his wife a gift. Kofin oto, ad shomer otze ani. You beat him up until he says, I want to give it. What do you mean you beat him up? He's giving it by force. The Gemara Rambam says, no, really, inside he wants to give it. You just have to beat him up to get rid of the husks. All the kibbutz on the outside, you got to break them. So when he says "rotze ani," that's the real person talking. That means when he said "I don't want to give the get," that's not him talking. That's he's possessed. He has a shed inside of him. However, once you beat him up and you get rid of the shed, you break his body. Now he says "rotze ani." Oh, now that's the real. Will the real person please stand up? So that's the case over there of "rotze ani." Oh, so God was telling Moshe a tremendous lesson. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're supposed to know better. You're supposed to know better. You're supposed to see through the people. Why are you calling them Morim? These people over here, it's true, they came to you, they don't listen, they don't... But in the essence, even those people, if you would have talked to the rock, I would have listened. Because ultimately, the pinimiyut of Klal Yisrael is good. Now watch this. Now, based on this interpretation, we understand another story. We understand another story. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the snare, to the burning bush. When he gets to the burning bush, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, go take the people out. Take the people out of what? Take the people out of Egypt? The people are not going to believe me. Oh, God got angry when he said that. The people are not going to believe you? You know who you're talking to? My children are ma'aminim. B'nei ma'aminim. Of course they're going to trust me. So after he said that, he tells him, "Mazze b'yadecha." He tells him, "What is this in your hand?" Vayomer mater. He says, "I have a stick." Vayomer hashlicheu arsa. Throw the stick on the ground. He threw the stick on the ground. But he didn't nahash. It became a snake. Now she says, "Why become a snake?" Because just like the snake spoke lashon hara, you speak lashon hara about my people. What do you mean, him la ya'aminu li? How do you know lo ya'aminu li? So he says, "Mazze biyadecha." Now simply "mazze biyadecha" means, "What is this in your hand?" Mazze. It's two words. Mazze. Now, if you look at our Chumash, Ketid Mazeh, it's written one word, Mazeh, Mem Zayin He, Mazeh. It's one word. Wow, that's very strange. What do they want with that over there? The Bala Turim says, you know what Mazeh means? That God told Moshe Rabbeinu over here, Mem Zeh. Zeh is 12, Zayin He. Mem is 40. That the Jewish people are going to be in the Midbar for 40 years. Now you're telling him this? The 40 years doesn't happen until much later on. Now he's telling him, Memzeh, that the Jewish, as if he's telling him, you're going to be with the people for 40 years in the Midbar. As if God's making the decree against Moshe, not in Parashat Chukat. He makes a decree against Moshe Rabbeinu already in Parashat Shemot. Memzeh biyadecha. Biyadecha Memzeh. 40 years with Christ in the Midbar. I didn't hit the rock yet. What is he telling them over here for? Mefashim say him something amazing. Already you see that over here Moshe Rabbeinu, God was angry at him. Why? Because he didn't understand the depth of what a Jew is. Now Moshe Rabbeinu makes sense, by the way. The Jewish people are the lowest level in Mitzrayim. You weren't talking about Gedolei Hador. They were on the 49th level of Tum'ah, the lowest level. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come to talk to these of the Avodah Zarah. I'm taking you out. Moshe Rabbeinu makes sense. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Hem lo ya'aminu li," everybody would say, "Hem lo ya'aminu li." It's a logical thing to say. They don't believe in anything. They were worshipping Avodah Zarah. But God says, "Moshe, you're supposed to know better. You know that in the root of Klal Yisrael, there's a certain spot over there. There's a certain light of spark of neshama, and that spark can never be extinguished." So Moshe Rabbeinu, God says, "Listen, mazeh biyadecha." He tells him the word mazeh, but we read it mazeh. Why? If you look in this week's parasha, in the beginning of the parasha, you also see the word mazeh. Where do you see the word mazeh? By the parah aduma. What did it say by the parah aduma? By parah aduma, it says that the mazeh, the sprinkler, he takes the parah aduma and he sprinkles. Now, what does the pasuk say? I'll read it to you. The pasuk says, ומזה מהנידה, the one that sprinkles the water, יחבס בגדיו. רבותיי, tell me what that means. The one who sprinkles, his clothes become tameh. Are you reading the pasuk correctly? ומזה מהנידה, the one that sprinkles it, יחבס בגדיו. And that's the hook. We always learned it that way. He sprinkles, he becomes tameh, and the guy who sprinkles becomes taor. Umazeh menidah yichabes begadav. So it sounds like the mazeh is tameh. Correct? The pasuk says the mazeh is tameh. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says something amazing. Rabotenu amru sheham mazeh tahor. The mazeh is tahor. But it says mazeh tameh. Vezeh ba lelamed sheham noseh mehatat tameh. It doesn't mean what it says. It means the one that carries the mehatat. He's the one that's tameh, but not the mehatat. So what do you see from this word mazeh? That even though it looks like the mazeh is tameh, the mazeh is really tahor. So God tells Moshe, mazeh biyadecha. The Jewish people to you, they look like they're tameh, but they're really tahor. Go back to the mazeh of mazeh mehatat. That's why the Mefashim learn it, it's one word. It's mazeh. What is it? It's mazeh. Mazeh is one word. You're saying the people of tameh? Mazeh biyadecha. Go to the mazeh of Parashat Chukat. In Parashat Chukat, we see the mazeh really is what? The mazeh, it says it's tameh, but the she says the mazeh is really tahor. So therefore, don't look at them on the outside. Even though it says tameh, it doesn't mean the tameh. It really means he's tahor. So therefore, the Jewish people are the same way. With this, we explain one more point, that there's a famous Gemara that says, that in Makot, that when you get Makot, you're supposed to get really from the Torah, Arba'im. You're supposed to get 40. Shemona Morim. Shemona Morim. So now you have over here, you're supposed to have over here, Elliot, listen to the rabbi. You have 40 Makot from the Arba'im Yakenu. I said Shemona Morim. Elliot, the Torah says Arba'im Yakenu. I can't help but the Torah says Arba'im Yakenu. The Gemara says, however, Arba'im, close to 40, minus 1, minus 1. Other minus 1, 39. So the Mefashim say, where'd they get the number 40 from? Because the human being was created in 40 days. So Borei Olam says, you didn't deserve to be created. You made Avirot, so you need to be, I troubled myself to make you in the 40 days, so the 40 days that it took to make you, we have to break the whole body that takes to be created in 40 days. But the Achamim came along and they said, you're right. But even when a person sins, it's not the whole body that sins. There's one part that's still tahor. So therefore, it's 39. There's one halak that remains. That's the sort of the 39. So therefore, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, mazeh biyadecha, memzeh, mem, meaning the mem makot, because he was holding a mateh, the mateh is what you hit with. The mem zeh, the mem reminds you of the inyan of that. There's always one part. So Moshe learned his lesson from over here. Moshe learned from two things, from mazeh and mem zeh. And then God was warning him that if you don't learn this lesson, you're going to end up being in the midbar for 40 years, mem zeh, with the 12 tribes. Now was the time of the tikkun. The time of the tikkun of this avon was at mem ribah. When it came to mem ribah, so now Moshe Rabbeinu, if he would have made the tikkun and the morim would have came, and Moshe would have said, you know something? Ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, mem zeh. So God said, take the stick. He was reminding him, take the stick, the same stick that you took from the times over there when I told you mazebi. He was telling him, this is it, Moshe. However, it seems when a person tries to make the tikkun, the yetzer is very strong. And therefore he tries to, for whatever reason. And in this case, it was from Borei Olam that he made it. Nonetheless, Borei Olam told him, I gave you a chance. Instead, you called him Hamorim, and you didn't want to talk. You didn't learn the lesson from the snare. And therefore, Baruch Hu says, Ya'ana shidu haymantin bi, and you didn't believe that there's always a part of Klai Yisrael that remains pure. Now, the lesson to us is that even though you see a Jew, and he looks very, very far, and he looks very removed, you always have to know that there is always a chelik of the Jew that remains pure, and that's the chelik where you're able to bring him. You never write off a Jew and say, the guy's lost, write him off. No, even though he looks very, 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 very bad. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shemona Morim. If Moshe Rabbeinu called them Morim, you can rest assured they were Morim. And only God's eyes was able to see, because Moshe Rabbeinu, he could see everything. But it seems that this spark was so small that even Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to see it. Baruch Hu says, even so, even if it's a spark that Moshe Rabbeinu can't see, now you know a lesson. It's there. And because it's there, you have to try to bring the guy back. That would be a practical lesson from the inyan of the chet of the memory bar.